pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your promise through Moses and for the fulfillment of your promise and the declaration of that fulfillment through Peter. Both of these are your spokesmen. And we thank you, Lord, that you have desired to communicate your grace, both by word and deed, that without you, we are nothing, and we would be nothing. And so we pray that you would speak to us again today, Holy Spirit. You who are the one that guided Moses to write these words, you are the one who guided Peter to speak these words, and Luke to write them down. We thank you that you are with us now. And we pray that you would apply this word to our lives and to our hearts. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, there was a theologian, an apologist. I don't know if you ever heard of Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, and the title of the book is He Is There. And then he wrote another book, And He Is Not Silent. Why did he title these books God Is There and He Is Not Silent? Because the claim was that God doesn't communicate. Now, when we read the Bible, all that the Bible is man's reflection on God, not God's revelation of himself. And so these are man's words about God. And there are many today that call themselves Christian that still hold to that. What's amazing to me is that God chose to communicate himself. Did he have to? No. Is his communication, is his revelation of himself grace? Something we don't deserve. The question is do we appreciate that? And in particular, our Lord Jesus Christ came to be that communicator, that prophet that Moses talks about in our text. Do we listen to him? Did you notice in that passage? Look at that passage. Go to Deuteronomy. One of the things that does not come through in the English, but is powerful in the Greek, is if you look at verse 18, and actually 19, 20, 21, and 22, I didn't read those other verses, but do you see where it says in verse 18, a prophet like you from among their brethren and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Notice the words in 19, 20, 21, and in your translations, the word thing, probably. All of those are the same word, and every time it says speak, it's all the same word. In other words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 times in that passage, God is saying that this prophet, this person that I send, will speak the word. Will speak the word. Will word the word. Probably that's a good translation. He will word the word. He will speak the word. Ultimately, John writes, who is that? The Word. Jesus is the Word. And so this prophecy of Moses, that there would be a greater prophet than Moses, was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. And so that is our focus today, is as we've been working our way through the Heidelberg Catechism question number 19, talking about the Gospel, the Holy Gospel, which was first revealed in Paradise. We talked about that already. And afterwards by his holy patriarchs, we saw that last week, and prophets. And that's where we are today. And also the sacrifices of the law, and finally revealed in his well-beloved Son. So we're in the process of working through that. So we're looking at the prophets. And so the title of the sermon is The Gospel Revealed to and Through the Prophets. And I could add the prophets like Moses, but ultimately the prophet who is greater than Moses. So your outline, the main point, God is not silent, but has chosen to communicate his purposes and plan of redemption through his appointed messengers, the prophets. Even more exciting is the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet who was prophesied to come. We are called to faithfully hear, obey, proclaim him and his life-giving word. And if you notice earlier, if you look at that passage in verse 15 of our text, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. What does that word hear? Does it mean I receive the noise, or does it mean I'm listening to do? That particular word means listening to do. When your parents tell you, did you hear me? Yeah, I heard every word you said, but you didn't do what I asked you to do. So you listened to me, but you didn't hear me. You didn't hear, listen to do. That's this passage. And so the call for us today is to hear and do what we hear. Not just hear the words, but put them into practice. So that's the calling that we have today. So notice my first point, God's word was delivered through the prophets. Now there are prophets and there are prophets. There are prophets that we find in the Old Testament who were other than prophets. In other words, they were recipients of God's word, but they didn't have the office. So think of David. Was David a prophet? Well, in a sense he was, because he received divine revelation and he communicated it, but in another way, no, David was a king. Was Daniel a prophet? We say yes. But yet he was a civil administrator, but yet he received divine revelation to communicate. So in one sense, all of the Bible is communicated through prophets in the general sense, but then there's also the office. Notice our text. Verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. So God says, I will call and I will commission a prophet like Moses. When was Moses called to be a prophet? It was a pretty radical experience. A bush that burns and is not consumed. I got to check this out, Moses says. And so he goes to that bush. And what does God say to him? First thing, take your shoes off. Take your sandals off. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. You're in the presence of a holy God. I am calling you to be my prophet. I have raised you up. I have commissioned you. And I will put my words in his mouth. I will give him, like I have given you, a message from heaven. Was Moses told what to say to Pharaoh? Let my people go. And if not, this is what's going to happen to you. I will put my words in his mouth. He will be that mediator like you. Because as our text says, when God appeared to Israel back in the mountain, chapter 19 of Exodus, what did the people respond when they heard the word of God? They said, Moses, we're going to die. We don't want to die, so you go talk to God, and you find out what he wants, and then come back and tell us, lest we die. What did God say? This is good. This is a good thing. They're showing respect to me. They're fearing me. And so God raised up a mediator in Moses and greater in Jesus, right? The mediator, the one who went between and brought the word of God to his people. How do we know this? How do we know what I just said? Did I just make it up out of thin air? And the answer is no. What am I talking about? How am I getting my information? Is it because I heard it from somebody else? Or because God also determined to write it down? We have the Bible, written by prophets. God recorded his word for future generations. Do we find that back in Exodus? And the answer is yes. If you go just a quick look, is Exodus chapter 24. And he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, This is Exodus 24:1. And worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He rose up early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then also down verse 7, then he took the book of the covenant, read it in the hearing of all the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and we will be obedient. So God wrote through Moses his word. He made the book of the covenant. He established the law, the teaching, the instruction of Moses, which is the foundation of the rest of the Bible, Old and New Testament. So God has given us his word through the prophet. Is that important to you? Which is more important to you? This or this? Serious. Which do you spend more time with? How much time do you spend on this a day versus how much time do you spend on this a day? Is this important to you? This is a bunch of words, right? You're reading words in this. Is this more important? Think about it. What you spend your time on is what is valuable to you. God's word through the prophet is the foundation of our faith. Second point, God's messenger par excellence. God's messenger has come. So when we stop and we think about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, does he fulfill this promise that was given 1,500 years prior? Was Jesus like Moses? Well, let's stop and think about it. Was Jesus born a Jew? Was he born of Israel? Was he one of the brethren that it refers here like Moses? Was Moses a Jew? Was Moses born in Israel? Among the people of God? Identified. When Moses was born, did someone try to kill him? When Jesus was born, did someone try to kill him? A king of the land where he was born. Moses was called in the desert. Was Jesus called in the desert? Was he baptized in the desert area and then go out into the wilderness? And the answer is yes. Moses spoke with authority. Did Jesus speak with authority? And the answer is yes. So in fact, that was what was amazing to the people. He wasn't saying, Rabbi so-and-so told me this. He said, I say to you, you've heard it been said, but I say to you. He spoke with authority and not as one of the scribes. Did Moses deliver the people of God from slavery? The answer is yes. Did Jesus deliver us from slavery of sin and of death? The answer is yes. Did Moses build the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God? Yes, no, maybe so, yes. Is Jesus the tabernacle? Didn't it say in the passage, and he tabernacled among us? The word became flesh and tabernacled. That which was pictured in the Old Testament is the fulfillment in Christ. Did Moses lead his people to the promised land? The answer is yes. Does he lead us to heaven and eternal life? The answer is yes. Now, Moses failed to enter in because of unbelief, but Jesus is greater than Moses. So this is a few of the ways that Moses is a type of Christ. And if you want to, how did I come up with that? Did I read that in the book? No, I probably did and forgot about it. But how did I do it? I just thought about it. How about you? Last time that you stopped and you read your Bible and you said, oh, let me see, how is Moses like Jesus? How is Samuel like Jesus? How is David like Jesus? How is Daniel like Jesus? Have you ever done that? As a thought, spend a little bit of time thinking about the Old Testament.
How about Noah? How about Adam? How about, you know, you could just run down the list. All of those are all pointing to Jesus. They're all types.
The one thing that struck me many years ago as I was reading the Old Testament is how many times what we find is a loser. Right? Abraham is this awesome man, but he sins. He lies. Protect his skin. Twice with Sarah. As I go through and I look at all of these great men and women of God in the Bible, they all have a flaw. And I ask myself, why? Why is it that everybody's such a loser in the Bible except for Jesus in that sense? And the answer is because we need Jesus, not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. We need Jesus. Is Jesus perfect? Did he never sin? Did he never fail? Okay. All of these others are pictures pointing to the perfection, Jesus Christ. So Moses is, Jesus is like Moses. When Jesus came, did Jesus come as a teacher? Did Jesus teach? Yes, he did. He was the greatest teacher that ever existed. And he taught the words that God gave him, as it says in our text. I will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And again, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Did Jesus speak everything that the Father told him to say? To the point of death. The answer is yes, he did. He spoke with authority. This, we're speaking of Christ. Thus says the Lord. Is that a statement we find in the Old Testament? Thousands of times. Thus says the Lord. Did Jesus say, thus says the Lord? Now think about it. No, he said, I say. I, the Lord, say. You see the difference? Thus says the Lord, as I'm talking for God, I say to you, God is talking. You see the difference? Jesus is speaking as the Lord. Yes, he's the messenger of the Lord, but he's also... So should we listen to him? And the answer is yes, because our text warns if we don't. In John 7:46, the reaction to what Jesus is teaching is, no man has ever spoken like this man. I think that's a great insight. No one has ever spoken like Jesus. Isn't that a great statement? Are his words important then? If no one has ever spoken. I listen to words from all kinds of people, and some of it's true, some of it's false. But no one ever spoke like Jesus did. Do I listen to him? Do I do what he says? Do I listen? Do I appreciate? So my third point, the greater than Moses is here. And God has given us his word. And his calling. We are among his brethren. Or how are you? That's the question. Are you born again? Are you adopted? Can you honestly say to God, you are my Father, our Father who art in heaven? Can you say that without lying? Are there people praying the Lord's Prayer today who are lying while they're praying it because they're not adopted by God? And the answer is yes. My question is to you. Is Jesus among his brethren? Are you part of that brethren? Are you part of the church? The church has been given his word. Scripture says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul writes that. What does it mean to be the pillar of the truth? Does that mean that the church is the foundation upon which the Bible stands? And the answer is no. What does a pillar do? A pillar holds something else up for all to see. Is a church called to proclaim the Bible? Are you called to proclaim the Bible? And the answer is yes. So the church is the pillar of the truth and ground. Now we hear ground. Well, that sounds like something that it sits on, right? Well, the word ground could be translated bulwark or guardian. A bulwark is something that protects the foundation of a building. Is the church designed to defend and protect the Word of God? Are we called to do so? Proclaim it and protect it? And the answer is yes. There are attacks at all times. So the church has been given the responsibility. There's no other place to find the solution that God's given but through the church. Notice our text, the command there in verse 15 and 19. Him you shall hear. Him you shall hear. Listen to him. God's word is both blessing and judgment. Good and bad. Is the bad bad? Or is the bad judgment?
It's judgment, which is bad.
Do we only hear the good? Can you receive a rebuke? Or do you get angry? And you don't listen to it? I only listen to happy verses in the Bible. Pollyanna. All the happy verses. I don't like the wrath verses. Or like that one church that went to the author of the song In Christ Alone and asked them to change the lyrics. It's a popular hymn. Well, we don't like the word wrath. Can you change that to another word? And the author said, no, it's in the Bible. It stays because it's the truth. Are we aware of the warnings, even in our text, of not listening? Listen to him. The Great Commission, teach to obey all that I have commanded you. John chapter 12, our Lord Jesus, as he is executing his role as a prophet, as a teacher, we read the following. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 44, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. And I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who has sent me gave me a command that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Again, verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. His word is light. So my question to you is that important to you? Is the light important to you? We live in a world of darkness. Apart from Christ, there is only darkness. He is the light. And so he says, I come to give light and life. So how are we to respond to Jesus, the greatest prophet, the greatest communicator? Well, number one is, again, what can you do to honor someone who is a communicator? Listen to what he has to say. That makes sense? I mean, obvious, right? How can I say thank you to Jesus? Hear what he says. And not forget what he says. Listen to him. Again, the amazing thing is that he sent his Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that guided Moses to write this is dwelling with you. Do you talk to him? Holy Spirit, help me to understand what you meant by this. You have that conversation with God. Here he is talking. Are you listening? When I was talking with my children when they were younger and they were ignoring me, it didn't make me happy. Sometimes it required the rod to open their ears. Does God have to use a rod to open your ears? Or is it a privilege to hear God speak to you through his word, by his Spirit? must he open our ears. So what else can we do? Well, listen to him. How about repeat it back? Is that an honor to a speaker to say, you know, you said this, and I've been thinking about that, and I can speak it back to you? This week I ran into a person and they said, well, what's the word for today? I thought that was a great question. What's the word for today? And I said to that person, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And that person said, you know what? I have that on my mirror in my bathroom. And I went, yes! In other words, that portion of scripture was important to that person enough that, number one, it's on the mirror. And number two, they know that it's on the mirror. And number three, they know what it means. Is it precious to that individual to take God's word and to put it on the mirror in the bathroom? Every time you go into the bathroom, you see the word of God right there. Was it precious to you? Doesn't mean you have to put it up on the wall. But more importantly, is it in here? Is it going on in here and is it here? How else can we say thank you? Talk about it. Proclaim it. One of my favorite verses is in the Bible, is in Malachi. Malachi means actually my servant. It's verse 16. Like John 3:16, Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord, on the day that I make them my portable treasure, my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. You hear that? When we think about God's word, when we think about what God has said, and we talk about it to one another, that is so special to God that he writes it down in a book. In a journal. Is that important? Do you have a journal? Do you have a diary? Write down the important events of the day or whatever? Most of us don't do that anymore. They used to do. Everybody used to have diaries and journals, but maybe not. Maybe you do. But God does. When you stop and you think about him and you talk to him, he writes it down. He records it. Because it's important to him. And the promise, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make them my jewels. Isn't that a wonderful statement? God looks upon us as his most precious possession. He created everything, but yet he looks at you and me as his jewels, his portable treasure. Proclaim his word. One of the ways we can do to celebrate Christmas, right? Yeah, but talk about Jesus. Is he the reason for the season? When the opportunity comes. During this time, people are more open to talk about Jesus, about Christ. Do we take that opportunity, that divine opportunity? So in summary, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Notice that. Jesus was raised up for you. Is that important to you? Is it precious to you? We pray that it is. Not only so, but he laid down his life on the cross. He offered that sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice for you. He loved you. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank you for sending the greatest prophet of all, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for recording his words in the Bible. That we don't have to go by what we hear, but we can read it. As well as what we hear others speaking of it. And we pray that you would work in our hearts that it would be the most precious thing in our life. What you say to us, what you've said to us through your word. We pray, O Lord, that you would also enable us to live what you say, that others may see you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.